combo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. We're into January. We have plenty of inventory. Interest rates aren't the greatest, but we have lots of discounts on new Escape, Edge, Explorer, F-150, electrics, you name it, I've got it. Also an amazing pre-owned selection. If you're looking for your first car, your second, third, fourth, or fifth car, a complimentary vehicle, SUV, you know I've got it. OakRidgeFord.com at Norman Oak Ridge Ford. Mr. Augello is with me on this fine Sunday, January 7, 2024. Mr. A, it's snowing in London. I don't know if it's snowing in Cheektowaga, but we know it's potentially going to be raining millions of dollars on one William Nylander here in the next 24 hours, if Elliot Friedman is correct in his reporting. We will descend into that chaos momentarily, but the man of the week for your Toronto Maple Leafs, my OGs, converts, and new people watching to the show, Martin Jones. Two goals against on a perfect Western road swing, finished off with a 4-1 win over a very lackluster group of San Jose Sharks, his former club. That was as good as it could have been out west, Michael. It's back to reality here for Tuesday and beyond. But for now, hey, let's celebrate the fact the Leafs won three straight and have positioned themselves pretty well in the Atlantic.
Good morning, Norm. Well, I mean, the road trip was what it needed to be. They started it with a game against one of the best teams in the league in the LA Kings, and they stepped up. They played, they outdid what the Kings normally do, which is play defensively, and they got really good goaltending from Jones. But Anaheim and San Jose are two of the worst clubs in the league. And for a team that is one of the best teams in the league, or purported to be one of the best teams in the league, they have to do what I've always said. You have to step on their neck and kill them. You cannot allow them to have any kind of confidence. Now, Anaheim, Lukas Dostal was, you know, channeling his inner Terry Sawchuk and played phenomenal, but the Leafs got the 2 points, and that's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And then last night, they start, you know, they had a bunch of shots in the first period. They got one goal from Mitch Marner on a 5-on-3, and then they slowly pulled away against a really bad San Jose club. Now, San Jose stepped up their effort. I mean, you know, half of those guys want to get out of San Jose and are probably realizing that everybody in Canada is watching them, and a lot of them are from, you know.
And they're a wounded animal, Mike.
Yeah, and so, but the Leafs did what they had to do. They beat them. They were the better team talent-wise, and they beat them. The most encouraging thing in a area of this season where things could really fall apart with Ilya Samsonov with his broken psyche and Joseph Woll with his high ankle sprain is if they had a lesser goalie than Martin Jones or a less experienced goalie than Martin Jones, they would be bleeding points right now. Jones has played well. The team has augmented their normal style. They're playing much better defensively, I think, because they have a goaltender who's, you know, he's in his early 30s. He's had questionable statistics the last few years, but they needed to sort of batten down the hatches, and they've done that, and they've won games.
Commander Brantford, convert, thanks for being here, my friend. 7-3, Mr. Jones, with a 2.08 goals against average, 3.932 save percentage. Who predicted that? The Leafs will take it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the statistics are fantastic. He only gave up 2 goals on the West Coast trip, one against Anaheim, one against San Jose. He played really well. He was steady. And they couldn't ask for anything more. Now, you know, the one concern here is, you know, they've got back-to-back games coming up the next 2 weekends. Mm-hmm. You cannot go with Martin Jones like they did on the West Coast. It was, you know, L.A. and Anaheim, so no travel. This weekend, you might be able to get away with it being Colorado and Detroit, both at Scotiabank Arena. But the following weekend, it's Vancouver and Seattle, back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. So there is a bit of travel there, not a ton. But you can't keep playing this goaltender. You know, you can't run January with Martin Jones. You're going to have to start somebody else, whether that be Dennis Hildeby or bringing up Samsonov. We don't know which is which.
Which would you do?
I would play Hildeby. I think Samsonov, I don't think Samsonov can be trusted anymore, even with one game. I think Samsonov should have played his last game as a Maple Leaf, but I understand why the organization is sort of using kid gloves when it comes to him and saying, you know, we're going to send him down there. We're going to reset him. We're going to do all this stuff. Yeah, that's great. He lets in one bad goal, right, and it's Niagara Falls for Frankie Angel.
Here's the thing. There's not much head left, but there's a body there.
Right.
You know what I'm getting at?
Yes, yes. I mean, you could say, well, muscle memory, and he'll just start making saves, but the head runs the rest of the body.
Right.
And when, you know, if he lets in a bad goal like he did against Columbus, all that comes rushing back. And that's why I don't know whether, you know, even in a scenario late in the season where they've clinched a playoff spot, they can trust this guy. So I don't have any animosity towards Samsonov, but it's been like this since the beginning of the regular season, since that game against Montreal. He's had maybe three or four good games, and the rest of them, there have been just like spans of just incompetence. So they,
Mike, this isn't on you, whether you have animosity or empathy for the guy. This isn't on you. This is him. This is on him 100%. And I'm not even blaming him for being terrible this season. If something's wrong with him psychologically, he's just lost it. He's got the yips. He needs a reset. Then I feel for that cat, because we all have these kinds of moments in our lives. It's just with Ilya Samsonov, it's happening before millions of eyes and in a very important stage of this team's evolution. I feel bad for the guy. I wish him very well. Ideally, it would be good to part ways so he can get a fresh start. But going back to the idea that the reality, the Leafs, they need somebody back there. Martin Jones can't play all the time, whether you think Dennis Hildeby is adequate for a game or two. The whole concept of having a tandem and then maybe somebody kind of seasoning on the farm is so you have support. Jones has been great, but his bubble may burst here soon too, and they're going to need somebody to offset him until Joseph Woll returns. This is The Combo, guys. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. We're presented every week by Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario. OakRidgeFord.com, one of the biggest, best Ford dealerships in all of Ontario, Canada, for that matter. Spike 11, Jones would start the playoffs, not Woll. That's an interesting question. And if these two guys are battling it out down the stretch and all things appear to be going well for the Leafs, that's going to be a debate.
I don't think it's much of a debate, although, you know, like if Martin Jones plays like this for the next 2 months, it might be, but I don't think it is. I mean, I think right now the Leafs will sign up with Jones being the 1B to Woll's 1A, in the sense that they can depend on Jones to provide at least a sort of stable performance. But, you know, you forgot what Woll was doing before he got hurt. He was playing at a number one goalie level. So, you know, if he comes back and he's clearly hampered by the injury, then you may have no other option other than Martin Jones. But if both are healthy and both are playing at their high capabilities, Joseph Woll is the starting goaltender in the playoffs.
Martin Jones was born to do this. Be in the right place at the right time and give a team trying to find its way, remain in contendership, quality minutes. This is terrific. Let me ask you about Joseph Woll, Mike. Mm-hmm. In what you've seen of him, how can you determine, or how have you been able to determine, that he's got it, that he is a next level kind of goaltender in the making?
Well, okay, I'm not saying he's going to be Carey Price.
And I'm not suggesting you said that.
I know. But what I'm saying, like, all I'm saying is that right now, if you look at the goaltenders in the Leaf system right now, Samsonov is ruled out because of what's going on right now. Martin Jones has had a sub 900 save percentage the last 5 years, and has been on his. This is his third team. Fourth team in 4 years. So all of a sudden, is he going to resort to 2016 Martin Jones, where he led the Sharks to a Stanley Cup final? I don't think so, but he is what he is. He's a veteran guy, and he's experienced, and in a pinch, he's done very well. Wall, remember, you know, he had injury issues last year. He found it in the AHL. He stepped up, and he played really well in a short stint in the NHL, and then played really well in the playoffs. And then this year has played really well until he had the high ankle sprain. So there is a string of him playing really well and playing at a higher level over the last year. So I think the organization, and based on what I've heard from other media sources, the organization has let them know they believe Wall is the number one.
So Martin Jones is at his supportive best for this group. Gotta say, Mike, from a 200-foot perspective out west, the Leafs are pretty damn responsible for most of this, for most of what they were able to put together as a 3-0 endeavor against the Kings, the Ducks, and the Sharks, respectively. Dare I suggest things are coming together. Even the panels during the shows last night were lauding the fact that the Leafs looked more responsible than they had prior to that West Coast swing.
Well, I need to be convinced for longer than a week, because that's what they've played responsible defensively,
right,
against Carolina and in the three games on the West Coast. Remember, it's just over a week ago that they had that 6-5 atrocity in Columbus.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I think it's a product of the fact that they have no backup goaltender right now, or a goaltender who has no experience. And essentially, Sheldon Keefe has been beating it into their head. You can't expect this goalie to stand on his head, and we need him to play all these games. So, right. I think they had to play a more strapped down defensive style, limit chances, take advantage of the power play, play more playoff style hockey. But we've known from seeing this team for years and years, it comes in fits and spurts. They play well for a little while, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's defensive irresponsibly run amok. So do I think it's for real? No.
That remains to be seen, Mike. And for as much of a curmudgeon as you play on the Leafs convo, we all know deep down you want to be proven wrong. So Dennis Hildeby, I think, gets the start against San Jose on Tuesday. Why wouldn't he, right? Jones, forget about Jones's ties to that organization. I'm sure he wants to forget about them now, considering the plight they're in. But that would be a great time for Hildeby to do something. I mean, Jones will have been rested, but put him in against the team that hasn't won in ages, and give them a different look than what they got Saturday with Jones between the pipes. From one Swede to another, Mike, let's talk about the elephant in the room here. Mm. Elliot Friedman, during one of the broadcasts last night, and when it comes from his mouth, it's pretty much ironclad, indicating that a deal between Nylander and the Leafs is just about complete, 8 years with an AAV of $11.5 million. If he continues to, Nylander continues to play to the degree he's playing right now, 2 more goals, 3 points last night, on fire throughout this season. He puts pen to paper tomorrow. let's just enjoy the fact that he's playing to an 11.5 clip this season. As for how it's all going to turn out in the end, I mean, we really don't know. So comment on that. And I want to ask, if this is indeed the case and this does come to fruition and is completed and we can move on from it, is this not, you know, a notch in the belt or a feather in the cap for Brad Treliving, regardless of as to your position of how much Nylander's making and how much it may detract from this organization financially in the future?
I mean, if you consider a notch in the belt paying a guy more than he's worth, then yes. I mean, he did that with Jonathan Huberdeau in Calgary, and look how that's turning out. Now, I'm not comparing the two in the sense that Nylander has provided no evidence over the last year and a half that he is returning back to, you know, that as you it's been well chronicled, my
Mr.
Dr. Neander and Mr. Willie, right. And Mr. Okay. You know, Mr. Willie has been AWOL the last year and a half. Right. But my fear is, as soon as he signs that contract, you're going to see that. And you know, I have no way of knowing whether that's the case, but that is my fear. This contract is stupid. It really is stupid because honestly, they were trying to get him signed during the summer at in the high eights or nines, right. And now he's had a really great first half of the year, and that immediately gets him a $2 million raise for a team that cannot afford a player to give a player a $2 million raise. So I think it's ill-advised. He is a really good player,
right?
But now next year, and I calculated it at $11.5 million, the core five together is around $54 million, which I think if the cap is $88 million, that's clearly over 50%, closer to I think 55%, maybe even 60%. I have to break out my calculator to find out, but the point being, if it's $54 million and you have $34 million to fill out the remaining 18 players of your roster, and good luck with that, folks.
Because it's simple. Tavares on his next contract is going to make much less, and the Leafs are going to go to Mitch Marner in the offseason and persuade him to waive his no move, no trade clause. He'll be sent out of town, and
that
will be hunky dory.
And that's the point. Why? Why would he waive?
Right.
I know we're talking about Nylander here, but if you're next year, Tavares is still under the last year, right, of his deal, and you have four players. I believe there's nine players in the NHL making $10.9 million or more, and next year the Leafs will have almost half of them, which is completely nuts because you have to field a team, not four players. Now they carry the bulk of the offense, and then, you know, nobody is saying that they don't. But you have to, in certain situations, have players who can play on defense and have goaltenders, and you have to pay them, and they can't do it because they don't have enough cap space to do it. So, Mitch Marner, they go to Mitch Marner in the summer and say, well, you know, because after July 1st, Mitch Marner can sign an extension. So if Darren Ferris, his agent, goes to the Leafs and says, well, we think he's worth almost as much as Austin Matthews, so we want $12.5 million a year. And Brad Treliving says, no, can't do it.
Arnav, yeah, Marner is the odd man out now. He has peaked already. If not traded, he will walk.
Right, and that's the point. The point is here, and the point was with Nylander. It's not that Nylander is not a good player. It's not that they don't want to keep him. It's whether you can afford him and what you could get for him if you traded him. Now, that was passed after the summer. Once the season started, they were either going to let him walk or they were going to sign him. Now, it's clear from all the reports, they're going to sign him. So, right. So now you've got Mitch Marner. His contract comes up on July 1st. He can sign an extension on July 1st.
Right.
They go to him and they say, well, we'd like you to waive your no move clause. What, right, if he tells him to stick it? What if he tells, right, him, no, I'm staying in Toronto. I can put up 95 points being the winger for Austin Matthews, and I'll walk in free agency and I'll get $12 or $13 million on a 7-year deal from somebody else, and you get nothing. There's nothing they can do. Nothing. So, and Colin says, who cares, Mike? Get over
just
the money.
Ignore him, man.
If it was a no cap league, Colin, I wouldn't give a crap less. But if your goal is for this team to win a Stanley Cup, then paying,
right,
more than 50% to five players is death. So, right, enjoy first and second round losses in the playoffs.
Look, Nylander signs his big contract tomorrow, triumphant. The Leafs were trying to get him at a much smaller amount months ago. He declined, wanted to wait it out, was going to take his chances, and damn, the man's playing at a, you know, potential hard pace, but he'd have to lead the team into a Stanley Cup position. OG's Converse, whichever side of the fence you sit on with Willie, I think we all agree we want him on the team. It's just, what's he worth? Can we not just have a detente on this? Because he's not going anywhere. For the time being, Marner's not going anywhere. The cap is going up, but it's not going anywhere. All of our ambitions surrounding our fandom of the team include, I hope, the team winning a Stanley Cup, going on a deep run. And at least for this season, that's not happening without guys like Willie, Marner, Tavares, Matthews, you name it, at peak, playing their very best, coming together, right? So, I mean, we can just keep going at each other, and I could get nasty emails and people threatening on subs and stuff. That's fine. Guys, this isn't my career, my life. So that's fine. Go ahead and do that. I don't want you to, but we just have a difference of opinion on how much this cat should make and how him making what he does and even these other guys and what they've made applies to the Leafs' ability to do more financially to grow this team. Let's just have a detente on it and that's it, because we're getting really, Mike, I mean, you and I can say what we want to say. OGs and Converse can say what they want to say, but nothing's really going to change, at least right now. And well, for those
not this season,
yeah, sorry,
not this season, nothing will change, right. You know, because Nylander's on the last year of his existing deal, he's making $7 million. If he does sign an extension, and, you know, remember this, folks, the Philadelphia Flyers signed guys like Mike Richards and Jeff Carter to long-term extensions, and the extensions didn't kick in until July 1st. So they were, and James Van Riemsdyk was another player like that. They traded them before the no move or no trade protection kicked in. That changed, I believe, with the last CBA. So if Nylander signs a contract extension on Monday, the no move clause kicks in immediately. Mm-hmm. So they cannot trade him over the summer before July the 1st, if that's in the minds of some people. Right. That's not going to happen. So essentially, folks, you've got five guys with no move clauses, and they all can exercise those no move clauses next summer. It's the Muskoka 5 2.0.
So we know the situation the Leafs are in now and what they're headed for. If we know, clearly the intelligentsia knows. If 11.5 to William Nylander is what it's going to take on an average annual value basis for the next 8 years, we've talked about Brandon Pridham before, right? We talk about the capologists and the guys who really understand this and who roll the dice and who can kind of, you know, forecast how things are going to work metrically. Do you believe they have a plan in place or an idea of how they might be able to untangle from all of these financial commitments to loosen things up to reallocate that money elsewhere?
No, there's no plan right now to get around $54 million in five players. I mean, none. It's like, unless you have all this, unless you have the knowledge that three or four players, veteran players, are going to come in at league minimum to counterbalance the five players that are making, the forwards that are making over $11 million. You know, you can have all the, I mean, maybe they trade for a player and put them on LTIR, but we know how teams are operating under LTIR and they're very limited. So it really doesn't work. And so unless they get bargains for a year, you know, 1 year guys who will come in like Giordano at $800,000, that's not going to, that dog, it won't hunt.
Right.
It just won't.
Right. You know, we're talking about Nylander, talking about Jones, talking about Marner, and not unexpectedly, but somewhat quietly, Austin Matthews is putting together what could be his best season, at least when it comes to putting the biscuit in the basket. No points last night, but, you know, that's Austin Matthews. He'll do other things and then just go bananas on somebody. It's crazy when we reflect on how things have transpired and we prepare for what's to come. There's doom, and you know we're expecting disappointment. But last night watching that game, I saw a little bit of progression all the way around. Right, Marner scores to get it going, and then they get a great, was it Yarncroc who scored last night? I think he's got 10 goals now. It's pretty nice. And then, you know, I turned the game off because we're the season 3 of Ted Lasso. My wife and I are so behind because we're like, this is done. And then Nylander scores 2 goals. Marty Jones looks great. You know Austin Matthews laying in wait, and he's on his pace for 60 to 70 goals. You know, they're going to have to scrape the bottom of the barrel to augment the team positively on the defense. And I don't know if there's a goalie in the future, too. But it's just kind of all leafy, right? This is kind of where we're at. And then the hope, I suppose, is that one of these days, leafy things will bear, you know, more than just a little bit of success, but something more substantial. And where we're sitting right now, and again, the essence of the premise of this season is to think in the moment. Where we're sitting right now, it's been a lot worse, and who knows, might even get a little bit better. Last couple of words to you, Mike, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, people have to put things in perspective when it comes to my viewpoint on this team. You've got one of the best players in the NHL in Austin Matthews. You've got a core group with Tavares as your second line center, with Nylander and Marner, with Morgan Riley. It's among the best group of 5 players that this team has had, probably, you know, going back to the 90s, going back to the Gilmore group, going back to the 70s with Sittler and McDonald.
Right.
And the issue, you know, the difference here is you're under a salary cap system, and this team is closer than it's ever been to being consequential when it comes to a playoff situation.
Right.
But when you're paying too much in certain areas and you're lacking in certain areas, and it's wash, rinse, repeat, it's the same thing over and over, and you keep making the same mistakes over and over, the same result is going to happen over and over. Nobody would be more happier than Leafs Nation to see this team take a long run, go to the Stanley Cup final, win a Stanley Cup. I just don't know if it's possible with the salary structure the way it is. And I don't think that all of a sudden Mitch Marner is going to do them a favor and help them dig out of this problem by waiving his no move clause in the summer.
Right.
He wants to stay in Toronto.
Mm. Right. You know, when I tell people I do the Leafs combo, and it's at my desk, or if I meet somebody and you don't know if they're a Leaf fan, and they ask me, hey, what's your project on YouTube? And I tell them the Leafs combo. You're going to get one of two answers. Oh, wicked, the Leafs. How do I find your content? Or I hate the Leafs, right? Ugh, awful. And I remind people who don't like the Leafs that, you know, Leaf fans give each other more heat than we get from other fan bases, right? It's just such a big, complex, diverse, acidic, lively group of hockey fans. I think we all want the same thing in the end, but in the interim, in the immediate, we have issues with all kinds of stuff. It would be nice if we were a little less divisive and put a little less emphasis on one player, de-emphasizing another. But maybe that's just kind of where we're at right now. It's the yin versus the yang. You know, in the what was his name? In the infamous words of Rodney King, can't we all just get along? You know what I'm saying? Like the content, subscribe to the channel, guys. The Leafs have an interesting week coming up. Another one with San Jose. That could be a sneaky game. All of the niceties and all of the wonderful things we're saying about a team that we think developed a little bit out west, we're going to forget about if the Leafs lose to San Jose and that streak is ended at Scotiabank Arena at the hands of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We know that's possible, guys. If they can get through that, then I'm seeing a little bit of growth. The Islanders coming up, Avalanche, Detroit. Detroit scores like mad. That's going to be... pretty raucous. The big news Monday, we're all expecting an extension for Willie Styles, $11.5 million per year. At least that's the AAV. Mike is going to have an aneurysm, so we're hoping to see him rest up from that next week and join us at some point on a future edition of the Convo. Mikey, your Buffalo Bills are playing tonight.
Yes,
they're going to do it for Marv Levy.
Well, this team, they defy logic. So am I confident that they're going to win in Miami against the injury-plagued Miami Dolphins team? No. The way this season is gone, they'll lose and they'll miss the playoffs.
So you're a Leaf fan. Now, you've been a Yankee fan, you are a Yankee fan. So this is weird because if you're like me, what do I have as a fan of pretty much all the Toronto teams? I've got no Stanley Cups during my life. And that's the most important trophy for me in terms of a team that I love winning. And it hasn't happened yet. So at 47 and, you know, being on my knees in front of the television set in overtime, watching them lose and get eliminated on many occasion, it sticks with you, and it doesn't necessarily generate a real positive outlook on how things are going to take shape. For you as a Buffalonian, we were talking about this before we went live, not too many titles for Buffalo, but as a Yankee fan, I mean, you were living it up in the early 2000s, and obviously the story history of that organization. But if you were a fan of the New England Patriots, or teams that like Kansas City Chiefs right now, teams that are the Tampa Bay Lightning, teams that have had a lot of contemporary success, do you think you would have with all due respect, as negative an outlook as it appears you have?
No, I don't think my outlook has anything to do with like the history of the teams that I root for. Although, you know, I mean, obviously with the Leafs in terms of disappointments, you know, 78 and 93, 94, 99 and 02, the closest that they've gotten to winning a Stanley Cup. The Bills 4 straight Super Bowl losses. But I'm a Yankees fan, and Colin M in the chat is a moron because he's like, the Yankees bought their championships. The 96 through 2000 team was homegrown, idiot. They bought their World Series in 2009 when they signed AJ Burnett and Sabathia and Teixeira. But those four championships in 5 years, Jeter, Williams, Pettit, Posada, they were all homegrown guys.
Right.
I'm a Celtics fan in basketball, obviously storied history, but, the NBA, I mean, that is fourth on my list of importance, right? With me, it's, you know, hockey and football and baseball are pretty much equal. And, I take a more objective look at sports, especially hockey and football. And when it comes to that, what frustrates me is a team that continues to do the same wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And then they have a lack of success and they wonder why. Why do we have because you're doing the same wrong thing.
You know? I wonder who you're talking about.
You know, it's like, well, okay. In 07 and 08 and 09, when we started talking on the hook, the Leafs are trading for Phil Kessel and trading two first round picks when they should be tanking for Steven Stamkos and John Tavares.
Right.
And then it took them 7 years to learn the lesson that somebody who was calling in Toronto radio was saying they should do. And then finally they do it, and lo and behold, they get one of the best players in the NHL by doing it. It leads to a bit of frustration.
And now they're closer than they've been since 67 in terms of a team that has this star power and then has been on a consistent run of 100-point seasons, et cetera. But are bound financially to what they've committed to and don't have the the might or the agility to be able to move from where they're at right now and pivot, having the financial constraints in place. And, you know, as you're expecting, regardless of how we feel about William Nylander, whether we think he should make $50 million, $11 million, $5 million, adding more money to a guy like that over as long a period of term as players want to get these days does not lend to, you know, the possibility of this team finagling itself out of the bind that it finds itself in right now, and you know, giving itself a chance to do some different things and take that next step. But it all remains to be seen. Let's just try to stay positive. It's been a good little run. One of the key players in the organization looks like he's going to be signing to an extension, and we'll just see what the next steps are. Anything else you want to add, Mr. A?
Nope.
OG's converts, new contributors, new people to the content. Thank you so much for being here. Consider subscribing. It would mean a lot to us. You can like what you see. There's a little thumbs up button. You can also give us a thumbs down. Any kind of interaction means a lot to us. Hopefully, Mike, we can get together for a midweek show. If not, you know, the Sunday Spectacular is pretty much as ironclad as Elliot Friedman's reporting on William Nylander, that deal looks like it's just about done. For Mike, I'm Norm. Go Bills, go. The Leafs Combo is out.